Those in favor of referral back to the executive committee, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Those opposed, in like manner, the motion to refer fails, and we come back to the main motion. The main motion is on recommendation number 12 as printed in your book of reports with the corrections, the typographical corrections, as listed on your daily bulletin. Is there further debate or question about recommendation number 12 in its totality? All right, if there's no further debate or question,
those in favor of recommendation number 12, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Those opposed, in like manner, and it's so ordered. We proceed with the next recommendation.
Chairman Brother Travis Odie, recommendation number 13.
Recommendation number 13 has to do with the program statement of the Home Mission Board. You'll find it on pages 51 through 63 of your book of reports. We recommend the adoption of the program statement for the Home Mission Board as follows. The objective of the Home Mission Board is to support the Southern Baptist Convention in its task of bringing men to God through Jesus Christ by developing and promoting, in cooperation with churches, association, and state conventions, a single, uniform Southern Baptist missions program for the United States and assigned territories. There are some 12 specific programs listed here. Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of this recommendation.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and second that this recommendation be adopted. Is there any discussion? Are there any questions? Those in favor, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Opposed, in like manner, it's so ordered.
I can think of no better person to present recommendation number 14 than Mrs. WMU, Mrs. Robert Fling.
You'll turn to page 63 of your book of reports. You'll find recommendation number 14. We recommend the adoption of the program statement for Woman's Missionary Union as follows. Parenthesis, Woman's Missionary Union is not an agency of the Southern Baptist Convention, and the program statement would be advisory rather than binding, as in the case of Southern Baptist Convention agencies. Mr. President, I move the adoption of recommendation number 14.
I second the motion.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Fling. There's a motion and second that this recommendation be adopted. Is there any discussion? Those in favor, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Opposed, in like manner, it's so ordered. Now
I have a few more. Mr. Chairman, in your bulletin for this morning, you will find some additional recommendations which were approved yesterday. I do not believe that these will take long to present, starting with recommendation number 15. Albert Sims, Virginia, will present this one.
Mr. President, recommendation number 15 is on the front page of today's bulletin. In keeping with Article 11 of the Constitution of the Southern Baptist Convention, we report that the Executive Committee reaffirmed the mail poll taken April 11, which reflected a unanimous vote in favor of switching the 1967 convention to Miami Beach during the week of May 30, June 2, and the 1968 convention to New Orleans during the week of June 11-14. This was made necessary when New Orleans withdrew its invitation for 1967, since the auditorium would not be completed. Mr. President, I move that the convention approve recommendation number 15.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and second that recommendation number 15 be approved. Are there any questions or is there any debate? Would you like to vote by standing? Stand and relax. Those in favor, let it be known by standing. If you're not in favor, you can stand with us too and join the majority. Stretch a moment and then be seated. One fellow even doing calisthenics down here. You can do that if you want to. We will give an opportunity for a negative vote. Those that would be opposed to this recommendation, would you stand and raise your hand so we can point you out? Well, there's unanimous consent on this recommendation. Number 16.
Recommendation number 16 is Charles C. Bowles of San Antonio, Texas.
Thank you. The recommendation number 16 concerning the charter of the Southern Baptist Foundation we have is simply the intent to put into this charter the action that was taken by the Southern Baptist Convention in 1948. And to save time, I will not read it and simply move the adoption of it.
Is there a second to this motion?
Second the motion.
Do you have any questions or is there any discussion about Recommendation 16? All right, those in favor, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Opposed in like manner, so ordered.
Recommendation number 17, Brother Rang Morgan, from Wichita, Kansas.
We recommend that the Radio and Television Commission and the Historical Commission be authorized to change their fiscal year from January 1, December 31, to October 1, September 30, to be effective October 1, 1966, and the convention bylaws and business and financial plan be amended to show this change. I move the adoption of this recommendation.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and second. Is there any discussion? Those in favor, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Opposed in like manner, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman, recommendation 18, Brother Jay Heffin. I should like for him to bring this recommendation and then just be a one word of explanation.
Recommendation number 18, in keeping with bylaw 22, we recommend that the executive committee be authorized to act for the convention in approving changes in the charter of the Southern Baptist Hospital before the convention in 1967, if such changes are requested by the Southern Baptist Hospital Board. Brother President, I move the adoption of this recommendation.
Do I hear a second?
Second the motion.
Now, an explanation.
Mr. Chairman, the bylaw 22 provides that the charter of an agency cannot be amended without the approval of the convention. Brother Joe Tootin, the chairman of the Southern Baptist Hospital, appeared before the executive committee yesterday, and we have met with representatives of his executive committee previously to discuss the problems of organization which they are facing in the very complex world of hospital administration today. They have the feeling that if you would approve this recommendation, it would give flexibility. So if they brought some recommendations as a result of the study group they now have working on some of their organizational problems, this could be implemented by the February meeting of the executive committee. Conceivably, and I think you ought to know this, conceivably this could even mean that the charter would be amended to provide for a separation of these two corporations. There are two corporations now, one in Jacksonville and one in New Orleans. One in Jacksonville is subsidiary to the corporation in the Louisiana corporation. Conceivably, this could mean a division of these corporations, but with all of the problems faced in hospital administration today, they felt that there might be values, and we do not know that this will be executed or would be done, but there might be values in the flexibility which would give them if you would authorize the executive committee to act for you upon the request of your own hospital commission in the February meeting.
All right, are there any questions or is there any further discussion? Those in favor of this recommendation, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Opposed in like manner, and it's so ordered. Now, the time has just expired for this order of business. We need about 3 more minutes to extend the time. By common consent, I want to ask, are you willing to extend the time? It'll require a two-thirds vote to do it, but would you extend the time 3 minutes to hear the rest of the executive committee's report and get this business out of the way? If you would extend the time 3 minutes, would you raise your hand? All right, if you're opposed, would you raise your hand? All right, you've got 3 minutes. Let's take the rest of it.
Dr. Archie Ellis, chairman of the administrative committee from South Carolina.
I bring you recommendation number 19, which you will find on page 3 of today's bulletin. We recommend that the Executive Committee join with the Historical Commission in developing plans for the proper observance of the 125th anniversary of the Southern Baptist Convention in 1970. Brother President, I move you, sir, the adoption of this recommendation.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and second that recommendation number 19 be adopted. Is there any discussion? Those in favor, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Opposed in like manner? So ordered.
The final recommendation, Mr. President, is to be brought by Dr. Clifton Allen, recommendation number 20.
We recommend that the recording secretary, assisted by the chairman and secretary of the executive committee, be authorized to make necessary editorial changes in the Constitution and bylaws to achieve consistency in punctuation and capitalization, current terminology as to names of agencies and officers of the convention, and consistency in editorial form for the sake of clarity, it being understood that no change in the meaning is involved. Mr. President, I move the adoption of this recommendation.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and second that recommendation number 20 be adopted. Those in favor, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Opposed in like manner? So ordered. Now I will entertain a motion that the Executive Committee report in full be adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I should like to make that motion and present Dr. Hudgens, the chairman, for the second of that motion, that the report of the Executive Committee as a whole be adopted.
Second the motion, Mr. Chairman.
Motion and second. Is there any discussion? Those in favor of adopting the full report as presented to you now with 20 recommendations, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Opposed in like manner, and the Executive Committee's report is adopted in a matter of record. The next order of business.
Mr. Chairman, let me do one thing here. You were introduced to Dr. Albert McClellan. I should like to present Mr. John Williams, who is a member of the Executive Committee staff and who has taken a great deal of the responsibility and the preparation of these facilities here for the convention, and Dr. W.C. Fields, the Public Relations Secretary for the Executive Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention. If they would stand, please.
We proceed then for the next order, and we come at this time for some congregational singing. Brother Sutherland, would you lead us?
Friends, let's turn, please, to number 29 in our song books. Number 29, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. We'll sing one stanza only. Let's stand as we sing. Thank you. Be seated, please.
Committee on Order of Business has requested that we take a moment here for a very delightful experience and to give us an opportunity to pay tribute to several people. With reluctance, forego the privilege of introducing our special guest. We're very proud of this man and the leadership he gives, but I'll not say more about him. I've seen his men who serve with him and under him out in Korea and out in Japan and out in Vietnam, these dedicated chaplains witnessing for our Lord in such a faithful way. But I'm going to call upon Dr. George Cummings with the Chaplain's Commission of our Home Mission Board to present a special guest that's on the platform, and I think you'd like to hear him. Dr. Cummings.
Thank you, Dr. Dehoney. The Armed Forces Chaplains Board, part of the Army of the Department of Defense of our government, is composed of the three chiefs of the chaplaincy, the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force. All through these years, Southern Baptist chaplains have been very fortunate in their rise from the standpoint to become chiefs. In the standpoint of the Army, 5 of the last 10 chiefs of the Army chaplains have been Baptists. The present chief of the United States Air Force chaplaincy is a Southern Baptist, Major General Robert P. Taylor. We're happy to have with us this morning, representing the Armed Forces Chaplains Board, one of my very fine friends, one of your friends, outstanding man, man of God, coming by the way of Arkansas, Southern Seminary, pastor, Navy chaplaincy in 1942, and now at the present time, chief of the Navy chaplaincy. My very good friend, representing the Armed Forces Chaplains Board this morning, Rear Admiral, Dr. Reverend Chaplain James W. Kelly.
Before making this presentation to Paul Stevens, I want to express deep appreciation to Wayne Dehoney for his visits to the members of the armed forces. He brought a tremendous lift to our men and our officers. We thank you for sharing him with us. And now, on behalf of the Armed Forces Chaplains Board, Department of Defense, United States of America, I want to present this testimonial of service to the Radio and Television Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention for spiritual and moral leadership rendered in support of the United States Armed Forces. I shall read the citation. In appreciation of the many audiovisual materials made available to individual units, bases, and commands in connection with the chaplain's ministry to the men and women in the Army, Navy, and Air Force, the use of these programs in the chapel, in religious education, our closed-circuit radio and television, has helped broaden the religious perspective of our military personnel in a highly dramatic and inspirational manner. The Armed Forces Chaplains Board commends you for this unique and outstanding support of the Armed Forces Chaplaincy so freely and enthusiastically rendered. Congratulations, Paul, and God bless you.
We come now to our regular order of business, and that order of business is the report of the Radio and Television Commission. How appropriate it is that this presentation tied together right at this time. We're honored by the presence of Chaplain Kelly, and we're proud of him. We're proud of this award that's been presented. And now we gladly hear from the Radio and Television Commission, Dr. Paul Stevens, Executive Secretary for the Commission. We recognize you at this time, Dr. Stevens.
Mr. President, members of this convention, I should like to make a motion that the Radio Television Commission's report, as found on pages 180, 181 in the Book of Reports of 1966, be adopted.
All right. There's a motion and second that the printed report as presented in your book of reports be adopted as the report of the Radio and Television Commission. It's been duly seconded. Are there questions or is there any discussion? Those in favor, then, let it be known by an uplifted hand. Opposed in like manner, it's so ordered.
Thank you. Now, our program this morning consists of two parts. One, we want you to use your imagination and be transported to our new radio and television building in Fort Worth, Texas. We want you to wander in the halls and in the studios and have some of the feeling of the throb of the work that goes on in that building as it reaches around the world for you. So first we will show you this film, and then we will have a second period of discussion and presentation of awards. May we have the film now, please, and the lights out.
Man alone. Upon this planet are millions who live their lives wrapped tight in their singular pains and pleasures, alone, as only man can be alone. And when they search the shifting patterns of their lives for meaning, they find there nothing eternal, nothing absolute, only ever-changing light and shadow, vague shapes and forms and fears, and lives filling fast with yesterdays. It has been the challenge of religious broadcasters to reach out to these people with the message of Christ, to help capture from the formlessness of these lives an eternal for all to hold. The message of Christ is eternal. Only the telling has found new dimension, a dimension structured on imagination. Michelangelo shows the hand of God reaching out to Adam. For ages, poets have pondered that tiny void between the hand of God and the hand of man. And they have seen there many things. Perhaps this too. God and those who do God's work can reach out to all men, but can touch them only one at a time. Reach is one thing, to touch is quite another. Within these walls are men and women who direct their skill and intelligence toward touching the individual heart and mind of alienated man. With imagination and the most modern tools available, they spend each day establishing lines of communication with individuals the world over. To reach is the campaign, to touch is the victory. And this is where imagination begins.
Next week on Master Control, a visit with an explorer and legend hunter. A chat with famous baritone Earl Wrightson.
And Insight, Dr. W. Morris Ford, a matter of life's sweet perfumes.
Master Control is produced by the Radio and Television Commission.
Radio, a not too new medium used in an altogether new way. This one radio program, a unique music interview format developed by the Commission, is heard by more people each week than listened to the Apostle Paul in his entire lifetime. 20 programs in all, including the Baptist Hour, are created in these studios. Music is a universal language, yet the universe is ever-changing, and so must music change if it is to keep pace with the sprinting times. The musical sounds that moved medieval man would fall flatly on the citizen of this century. And so an ancient psalm that flowed one day from a shepherd's mind is dressed in an imaginative new wardrobe.
Kapajau, Yatsupakat, Wa. Ruang Rang An, with you, Concord Baptist.
Yuehan Fuyin, Di Shi Chi Zhang. 是耶稣受难以前特别为地上的门徒所献的祷告。Pomnite
slava Gospoda Iisusa.
Notamos que el Padre, al ver regresar a su hijo perdido,
to reach the isolated man. This is a challenge requiring many voices. With many voices in many moods, the Commission seeks its congregation of one. And the tapes on which a year's broadcasts are recorded, if unwound, would reach around the earth.
This is a chiral sequence going from...
A curious ribbon moves between a light and you, and Pharaoh builds a pyramid by your chair. Time and distance, two great barriers to understanding, are bridged by the magic of motion picture film. This film, photographed by the Commission in Egypt, is being prepared for the Answer television series, appearing on over 100 of the nation's leading television stations.
They've got the inheritance threaded up in the projection room. You want to see?
You bet.
The Inheritance, one of a series of hour-long specials appearing on network television. Overwhelming write-in response, over 9,000 letters, prompted NBC to rerun this biblical special a second time. Other Commission specials appearing on NBC include Walk Beside Me and The Life of Christ. Such programs are viewed each year by an audience in excess of 75 million.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
And here, in Soldier Rose, is imagination waiting to happen. 100 million images coiled in cans. The message of Christ waiting to be told. It takes a great many people and a vast roster of skills to establish and maintain an ever-expanding network of communications. We live in an age motivated by salesmanship, an age when imagination in marketing a product is every bit as important as imagination in its production. At the marketing conference, three things are constantly in mind. First and always, the target. That man who has somehow become a stranger to the Christian idea. Second, the challenge of reach. How can we get more free radio and television time? And third, how can we supply the ever-increasing demand? How can we fill the expanding free time availability with programs designed to touch the individuals they reach?
List for a few states, you know, so that I wouldn't walk into Joe Blow and try to get the program.
part of the answer regarding reach can be found here in the art department, where artists designed hundreds of promotional pieces for mailing to station managers throughout the world. Besides a great many personal visits and telephone calls, radio and television station managers are literally bombarded with graphic materials reflecting the color and excitement of the programs they describe. Since all the Commission's television films are produced in color, promotional materials repeatedly drive this point home. Most of the materials designed at the Commission are printed in its own shop. Four presses turn out more than 10 million impressions each year. Materials ranging from a one-color postcard to a multicolor 17 by 22 inch sheet are printed with equal facility. The Beam, the Commission's unique monthly magazine, is another way to reach out for new audiences. Not only does this nationally distributed publication carry depth studies of various religious, moral, and social implications of radio and TV, but it assists in the promotion of the Commission's radio and television programs. The Beam's mailing list, plus a vast amount of other statistical information, is maintained in the Commission's highly sophisticated IBM unit record system. Over 500,000 names are tucked away in the memory of these files. Notice is information concerning people who have written in response to broadcasts, people who have contributed money, as well as statistical information on radio or TV stations anywhere in the world. Sights and sounds, new images, new ideas, new harmonies, eternal themes. All these things, these facilities, people, skills, arts, sciences, all these combined in a unique effort to reach and to touch the life of a single unknown human being. To make that one man among many a little less alone.
I should like to pause here to extend my gratitude to George Cummins and the Chaplain's Commission of the Home Mission Board, and through them to all of our chiefs of chaplains, but especially to Chaplain Kelly for this award which I received in the name of the Southern Baptist Convention, not for myself. The films that we have made have been made available to be used on our nuclear subs around the world and on the battlefields in Vietnam, and they're made and they're presented on your behalf. I could not say anything a moment ago, for it was not to me, it was to you. And I wish I could make a duplicate of this award and send it to every one of you, that you might have it on your wall and in your home. Giving awards is a time-honored custom. Actually, I suppose it has a scriptural basis, for the grace of gratitude is certainly taught to us throughout all of God's Word. So when the opportunity comes for us to say thank you, we do it. We do not do it often, and we do not do it indiscriminately, but we do it carefully and prayerfully, and we do it when it is justified and not otherwise. So today, I am privileged to make some awards in your presence. I feel sure that you will join me in wholeheartedly extending sincere gratitude to a number of people who have assisted your Radio and Television Commission in achieving its purpose. Last year, I reported to you that we had achieved 20% of all of the available religious time on radio and stations throughout America, that Southern Baptist had been able to secure 20% of all of the time made available for religious broadcasting. This year, that figure has shot from 20 to 33%. Today, you are appearing on more than 2,300 stations, which represents 11.6 new stations every week that rolls around. And you have the largest sustaining religious network in the world. You Baptist ministers and Baptist laymen have helped us do that. In the past 8 years, we have presented about 600 awards through the Baptist churches of the Southern Baptist Convention. These have been awards to radio stations and television stations in your city that have carried Southern Baptist programs. Many of you men listening here today, and many of you laymen who are present, will recall the occasion when the radio or and TV station manager in your town was invited to your Baptist church, and there in the presence of your congregation, he was presented an award. And in so doing, you thanked him for letting Southern Baptist use his facilities to say what you wanted to say. In so doing, you exhibited the grace of gratitude. You did not inquire into his religious affiliations. You simply wanted to say thank you for letting this group of Christians in this community say what we want to say. And the message of the gospel as preached by Dr. Hobbs was heard and is being heard on a larger number of stations this year than in any other year in its history. Many of you will be glad to know that Dr. Wayne Ward will be our summer replacement for Dr. Hobbs. He will appear for 8 straight Sundays during the summer. I hope that wherever you're traveling, you'll tune in and listen to this great young preacher for whom we're deeply grateful. Now, I wish to make very quickly some awards of recognition. One, to those who have served as our preachers or speakers on our Master Control program. All of them were not able to be here today. 2 of them are. I should like to have Dr. Charles Myers from McAllister, Oklahoma, First Baptist Church, to come and stand with me, and Mrs. W.R. Pettigrew from Louisville, Kentucky, please. If any one of you have ever heard Master Control, you've heard the voice of this man. His skill at writing and his skill at expressing himself succinctly, poignantly, pointedly earns for him our deepest gratitude. And this award presented to Charles Myers with appreciation for his lasting contribution to Master Control through his inspirational vignettes. Dr. Myers, we are deeply grateful. This lovely lady was for many years the faithful companion of one of the distinctive preachers among Southern Baptists, a man whose voice, when once heard, was never forgotten. But not simply a voice, but a message and a spirit that projected through the microphones, and as a result of his inspirational vignettes, we received thousands and thousands of letters. His voice, his ministry, and his contribution to Master Control live on, Ms. Pettigrew. And to you, on behalf of Southern Baptists, thank you and God bless you. I returned from Jordan and Israel a few weeks ago after 2 months with the National Broadcasting Company in the production of a new film which you will see on your networks next year, on the network next year. With a title has not been chosen, but it is, as a working title, The Life of Christ. We received from the National Broadcasting Company more than $75,000 as their contribution to this film. Now, the three people with whom I have worked and who have made a contribution immeasurable to our denomination, but also to the spiritual life of America, are with me here today. I would like to have them come and stand with me, Mr. Joseph Vidala, Mr. Martin Hood, and Miss Doris Ann, please. You'll notice that Mr. Vidala, who is our cameraman, come a little closer, Joe. I want them to see your black eye. He has a black eye. 2 weeks ago, he was filming some material for us in New York, and somebody didn't like what the picture he was taking, a sort of a drunk, I suppose, or something. Anyway, they took a swat at him on behalf of Southern Baptist and caught him right in the eye. But I tell you, that is the least of the scars he bears for us. This man was chosen last year by Encyclopedia Britannica as the Outstanding Cameraman of the Year. This year he has received awards, a tremendous statue in his profession, and really stands among the very finest cameramen in America. He's been with our cameraman now for all these years. This beautiful award is being given to him on your behalf, and it says to Joseph Vidala, in appreciation for 15 years of dedicated service to the faith groups of America and to Southern Baptist in particular, presented on May 25, 1966 by the Radio TV Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. Thank you, Joe, and God bless you.
Thank you very much. The time is out for this period, but Dr. Stevens says he'd like to have about 3 more minutes to finish his report. Would you, by common consent, grant 3 more minutes? It'll require a 2/3 vote. Let's see your hands. All right, then. Opposed in like manner? All right. 3 minutes, Dr. Stevens. Proceed.
I'm long-winded as usual, but you forgive me. This award is being made to Mr. Martin Hode. Mr. Hode is producer-director of religious programs for the National Broadcasting Company. We first became associated in 1954 when he attended Ridgecrest Assembly and there became acquainted with our work. He has given of himself unstintedly through these years. I can't describe to you what this man has done for you in the production of programs for the National Broadcasting Company. And so, Martin, on behalf of the Southern Baptist Convention, in appreciation for 15 years of dedicated service to the faith groups of America and to Southern Baptists in particular, I present this award with a heart full of gratitude.
I'd like to say that I rather think it's the other way around. I come to you, indebted to you, to the men and the women and the youth of the Southern Baptist Convention, who have made possible the support that permits NBC to strike out in new areas of religious programming. Because it seems to me, what little I've seen of the world, man knows how to solve most of his problems. He has all the technological answers. The things that seem to bother him the most and constitute the greatest danger for us all are problems that are moral and ethical in their solutions. And the Southern Baptist Hour makes the statement and has that illumination and insight that can help men, and has made my work meaningful, and I thank you for that opportunity. And this illumination and this insight in the future needs only to be told. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. It's not often that beauty and brains are truly combined, but here, standing before you, is the perfect example. Miss Doris Ann, who for 15 years has been executive producer and is now the manager of religious programs for the National Broadcasting Company, with whom I have traveled around the world with my wife's permission, and who has contributed to Southern Baptist as a result of her position with NBC, through her and those who are her associates, more than $4 million worth of time on the networks to say what you want to say with no holds barred. Miss Ann, a skilled communicator, a delightful lady, and a wonderful friend, to you, on behalf of the Southern Baptist Convention, for 15 years of dedicated service to all of the faith groups of America, and Southern Baptist in particular, and with a great deal of love, thank you, Doris, and God bless you.
I want to thank every one of you for this honor, and to say that NBC joins you in the expression of God's word in the world, the way you want to express that word. And I would like, if I may, to have our crew standing here today applaud you for the work that you have done in making these programs the most outstanding religious programs in the world today.
Concludes our program, and thank you very, very much.
I wonder if you would like to stand a moment as we conclude this, and let this be a tribute to our Radio and Television Commission for the dynamic and creative leadership they're giving in this field of communications. As you're standing for a moment, those who are to make nominations, want to make nominations for the officers of the convention, would make their way to the platform at this time. I would also ask that the past presidents of the convention make their way to the platform if they're not already here at this time. Now, when you've stretched sufficiently, you may be seated. Aren't there some more who want to join this line up here? Shall we take just a few moments? Let me make an announcement. The chair has made an error, and it's going to create some confusion for the Committee on Committees. Would you help me to clarify the announcement as to when you meet? I said that it would be following this session. That is wrong. The meeting of the Committee on Committees will be following the afternoon session. The chair apologizes for this error. Would you communicate that to anyone who's on the committee or ask them to check with our secretary here? Now, while these persons, these messengers are gathering to prepare to nominate the president of the convention, I'm going to ask that they would seek the registration secretary and draw a number, and that number will be their place in order for nominations. And line up accordingly and be prepared to hand me the name of the candidate they're going to nominate and also their name on a slip of paper. We'd like to have this for the record, so I'll ask you to be preparing at this moment while I ask that the former presidents of the convention come as I call them and present them to you. These are the elder statesmen of Southern Baptist. What great help they've been to me personally and great encouragement. I want to thank them personally, and I know you would like to recognize our past presidents at this time. I want to call them forward in the order in which they are seniors. The first president in term of service, the elder president, not in age but in term of service, Dr. Louis Newton, who served as president 1947-48. Now, I do not believe that Dr. Newton was able to come. I have a telegram from him expressing his regrets and bearing greetings to you here in this convention. Following Dr. Newton was Dr. R.G. Lee, who served for three terms, 1949, 1950, 1951. Dr. Lee, come right on up here. Wait, make your way. Make your way through here. Come, Dr. Lee. Great giant. And we just want to salute you and tell you how much we love you and what an inspiration you've been in our lives. Stand right here because the press wants a picture of all of you together. Following Dr. Lee, then came Dr. J.D. Gray, 52 to 53. Dr. Gray, who was elected as the youngest man ever to serve Southern Baptist as president. And this, come on up here a minute. We've got him tied out in the resolutions committee working hard. And I know we're going to have a good committee because he's there helping. We thank you and we appreciate your help. And then following Dr. Gray, Dr. J.W. Storer, who served 54 to 55. And Dr. Storer is our secretary of our Baptist Southern Baptist Foundation and a great denominational statesman, Dr. Storer. Following Dr. Storer came Dr. C.C. Warren, the 30,000 movement and the Baptist Jubilee Advance. And I have a wire from Dr. Warren saying, regret unable to attend convention due to accident in which Mrs. Warren suffered a broken hip. Be assured of my prayers. Would you give an applaud for Dr. Warren? And the assurance of your prayers and sympathies for Mrs. Warren, I think it would be in order, and by unanimous consent, I believe we'd want to send a wire to Dr. and Mrs. Warren and also a wire to Dr. and Mrs. Louis Newton. Would the secretary take note of that and send these communications? Then came our layman, Brooks Hayes, 58 to 59. I've not received a communication from him. Is he here? He's running for governor over there in Arkansas, and I figure he'd rather run over there than be a has-been over here. Shall we also send a communication to him, extending our greetings from the convention? Then came Dr. Ramsey Pollard, fellow Tennessean and dear friend of mine, 1960 to 61. Come on up here, Ramsey.
Thank you.
The way I like to introduce him is he's a friend of preachers. I went in as a young preacher up in East Tennessee. First time I ever met him, he said, come in. He put his feet up on the desk and sat back in that chair and said, sit down and talk with me, boy. And I did, and he helped me. And I was a young fella just out of the seminary. He wasn't much older than I was, but he'd gone a lot further. And he was of great inspiration and encouragement to me all these years. And then following that, Dr. Herschel Hobbs, 62 to 63. Herschel? Come on up here. Now, the Vice President of the Baptist World Alliance, the preacher for the Baptist Hour, and the man who always has a story for any occasion, it makes no difference. We love you and we thank the Lord for your leadership. And then my immediate predecessor, Dr. K. Owen White. K. O., come up here. The Lord is using, has used, and is using, continuing to use this man in a great way as he's out in California on the growing and cutting edge of our denominational life, leading a great area of about 7 or 8 million people in your bailiwick out there. As he's a superintendent of missions out there, or whatever the title is, he's the chief domino, or whatever you want to call him, and he's leading our Baptist work. We thank the Lord for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's give all of these men a hand together, will you? One of them said to me, "Isn't it great to be a has-been so you don't have to worry about trying to be?" Someone else said, "Let's call this the Fire Escape Club because it's made up of ex-its." I'm going to join them after this session, and I'm going to be one of you. But by no means, by no means. By no means should these men take the back seat in any way, because here are the elder statesmen and the leaders for our denomination, and how heavily we lean upon them. We thank the Lord for you, brother. Now the chair sees that we're going to have a number of nominations or candidates, and the chair must ask the convention for some instructions now. Neither Robertson's Rules of Order nor our Constitution sets forth the conditions of the runoff, if there should be a runoff. Of course, a majority is required for an officer to be elected. But there are two ways that we can conduct the runoff. First, we can simply take the two highest candidates, and we have done this sometimes, and vote on the two highest candidates out of a field of anywhere from 4 to 16 or 18, the two highest. Frequently, however, the two highest receive only a small percentage of the total votes cast when the votes are spread among so many candidates. The other procedure, and the procedure followed at other times in our convention in the past, has been to vote the second time on the candidates who received 50% or the majority of the votes cast. In other words, there might be three candidates or even four candidates who received the majority of the votes cast, and that would constitute the ballot for the second voting. Do you understand the two possibilities? Now, this has been left to the chair to decide in the past, but I am going to ask that this convention express its wishes in this matter. I want to find out how many of you would prefer that we vote simply on the two highest candidates. Would you raise your hand? All right, those who would prefer that we vote on the candidates who receive the majority of the votes cast on the second ballot. Let's see your hand. I believe I rule that that second vote carries, and this will be the procedure that we will follow. Now, the Constitution sets forth the conditions for the election, the nomination and election of president. Nominating speeches will be limited to one address of not more than 3 minutes for each nominee, and there is to be no second to a nomination. I am going to rigidly hold to the 3-minute time limit. And I'm going to let you finish the sentence and call your man's name, and that'll be it when the 3 minutes come up. All right, we are ready now to receive nominations for the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. I'll recognize the first messenger who steps forward, Brother Forrest Feaser. From where do you make your home now?
Texas.
From Texas, presents a nomination.
Mr. President, fellow messengers of the convention, in 55 years, half the history of the convention, only two laymen have been chosen